Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is July 5th, 2016, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Top 10 Emergency Department Tips for Families. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Roderick Lim. Rod is the chair of the pediatric section of the Canadian Association of Emergency Physicians and the standards lead for the pediatric section of International Federation for Emergency Medicine. He's an associate professor of pediatrics at Western University Schulich School of Medicine, and Rod is also the proud father of three children, loves traveling, and suffering as a Toronto sports fan. And of course, he does like to play hockey badly, I understand, with his colleagues. Welcome to the SGEM, Rod.
Oh, thanks, Ken. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Now, it's great to have you on the show for an SGEM Extra.
Oh, it's great to be here again. What a great thing you do, and I'm glad to contribute.
Well, normally we do a critical appraisal of a recent publication, trying to cut that knowledge translation window down from over 10 years to less than 1 year. But in the summertime, we slow things down a bit at the SGEM and get ready for next season, which starts in September. So today we're going to go through a list of top 10 emergency department tips for families. And Rod, I'm curious, who came up with this idea of a top 10 list?
Well, the origin of the idea was actually from America. They came up with a similar top 10 list specifically for visiting the emergency department. And Vera from CAPE, who is instrumental there, she thought, you know, this actually got quite a good response in America. You know, why don't we do something similar in Canada where we can put a Canadian spin on things? So that's where the idea was born.
And so who created this list with you? Was it just CAPE or did you have any partners involved?
Oh, I had amazing partners. Ty Crombie from Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. He's a pediatric emergency consultant there. And Sherry Stackhouse from British Columbia, who worked on behalf of NENA, the National Emergency Medicine Nurses Association. They were co-involved in this project, and we were glad to have them.
And what are the goals of the project? What do you hope to accomplish? What do you want to see happen with this list?
We think of ourselves as emergency doctors as patient advocates, and we do that on a daily basis whenever we go to work and academic activity that we do. But I thought this was a nice ability to take a step back and just kind of talk in general, plant some seeds for families that are out there trying to look after, you know, their children, and just kind of start with a kind of a playful but helpful list of things that they may have thought about a little bit, but maybe give a little bit more thought as to how they can apply it in their lives.
Well, you released this list earlier this month, and I'm wondering, what's the response been like?
Well, it's a little bit into your world there, Ken. I was actually following it electronically through tweets and seeing various people going back and forth. We've had reach outs from national organizations and regional organizations who want to take this list and publish it in their monthly publications. So I was very happy to see it well received.
Well, let's run through the list, but let's do it in reverse order. And it sort of got me thinking about David Letterman, how he used to do a list, a top 10 list.
David Letterman!
So let's do this in a David Letterman format.
And that's great. It's showing our age, isn't it? Won't it be weird in about 10 years when people go, David who?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's start with number 10, vaccinate your children.
Well, you know, we've all seen in the past few years a real slide in people's enthusiasm and the misinformation out there about vaccination. And I'm old enough, fortunately and unfortunately, to have seen a lot of these diseases. You know, we used to have so much meningitis out there. I think learners these days probably haven't even seen a case of meningitis in children. So it's really important to just send that message out there that, you know, we support vaccination, and it's really done an incredible job of removing a lot of disease, horrible disease in children within our lifetime.
Number 9, be a safety role model to your children and promote injury prevention.
Well, and absolutely, you know, we're good at legislating things for children, but I think we don't realize the impact we have on what they see. You know, when adults don't wear helmets or we check our phone when we're driving, children see that. I think our actions speak louder than our words sometimes. And it's really important to live that safety role model life that we want our children to emulate.
And number 8, promote healthy activities in your family.
Oh, and as you know, Ken, the days of our children wandering around and being active every day is now an active thing in terms of what we used to do on a daily basis. And we've seen, you know, children, their, you know, BMI and their level of obesity at record levels. And this is probably the first generation where they're expected not to live longer than us. And I think, you know, it's just back to basics. It's back to taking that time and living an active, healthy lifestyle. And being involved with their children to do that on a daily basis.
All right, Rod, number seven, talk to your children about mental wellness.
Yeah, and this is another epidemic that we're seeing for sure. You know, the amount of morbidity and distress in children as young, you know, as beginning of school to adolescence, coping with depression, self-harm, and drug abuse, mood and anxiety. It's really crippling, and it's been well documented across really the world of this huge epidemic. It's so important to provide that open forum to children to talk about, you know, mental wellness, that they know it's not a taboo subject, that you're open to talking about it, and really, you know, take that effort to ensure that your child's mental health is where it needs to be.
Number six, keep all medications and household chemical products in a safe location.
The list wouldn't be complete without some kind of shout out to you to home safety and medication safety. You know, that is the number one source of accidental ingestions and exposures is things that are commonly available within the household, either in the garage or underneath the sink or near the laundry machines. And as well, unfortunately, prescription abuse and other drug abuse by adolescents of their parents' prescription medications. So keeping a real mental checklist of where the medications are and walking around and ensuring at the child's level, you know, will they get into something that they shouldn't, goes a long way in preventing a lot of the visits that we see every year.
All right, Rod, we're halfway through the list. Now, number five. If your child has a serious allergy or medical condition, teach them how to manage their symptoms independently.
Yeah, and absolutely. We always think we're going to be there for the for children, especially young children, but it's never too early to start teaching them about their condition. Things who they can go to for help, what they're supposed to do when they feel a certain way, who they're supposed to inform. You know, even in something as supervised as a school, we often have children who you know, only now can have access to their puffer or inform teachers that they need them. So I think it's never too early to involve a child in their own condition to keep them safe and to get things early.
Number four, remain calm and patient when visiting an emergency department.
Well, I don't know if that's for them or for us, but we all know that you know, we're seeing people at their very worst, and we know that emergency departments, despite you know our efforts, are very busy. They're crowded. They're chaotic places, and people wait a long time. And how we approach it, much like Dee being a safety role model, how we remain calm and patient and reassuring to our kids goes a long way to preparing them for, you know, their long visit to our department. So, you know, being prepared, checking in with them, trying to inform them as to what's going to happen, I think goes a long way to reduce the distress of visits to the emergency department for children.
All right, number three, learn the basics of first aid.
Oh, and that's just back to the basics, right? Things that we used to take for granted, like physical activity and healthy eating, et cetera, you know. I think just back to the basics, take a first aid course. There's so many good organizations out there that provide them, not just for the parents, but for siblings, so that the, you know, the first line of pain control and bleeding and infection and whatnot can be taken care of right at the house.
All right, number two, find the time for you and your family to take a CPR course.
Yeah, these last ones really come down to where they can make the biggest difference, right? We know that in the event of a serious incident, you know, CPR, bystander CPR is so important. And taking that time for the family to together take a CPR course, be educated, can really make a difference.
All right, and the number one top 10 emergency department tips for families is teach your children how and when to dial 911.
Yeah, and I think that again, that's so important. Early access to help. Sometimes there's, you know, the occasional news report where a child saves a parent's life or saves their friend's life because they've had the presence of mind to know how to dial 911. And we add in there that, you know, not just 911, but also where they live, you know, to open the front door in anticipation of health arriving, how to call from a cell phone. things like that. You're never too young to learn these important skills.
Well, there you go. A top 10 emergency department tips for families. Is there anything else you want to say, Rod?
Well, I appreciate what you do here, Ken, and I thank you very much for providing the forum for people to be aware of it. You know, what a great opportunity it was. And we often are patient advocates for people in our daily jobs, but this is a great way to reach out to a wider audience in a different forum. And if anyone wants to download it, it's available on the CAPE website in English and in French.
Well, I'll also put a link on the SJAM website so people can download the PDF and share. I hope everyone is having a great and safe summer. And don't forget, there are some great conferences coming up this fall. There's the Best Evidence in Emergency Medicine course, September 19th and 20th in Niagara Falls. The Teaching course, November 14th to 16th in New York City. As the guest skeptic, you get to give the SJAM tagline, Rod.
Here we go. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.